Hi, everybody, and welcome to So What Happens Next? I'm Amber.
And I'm Thomas.
And today we're going to be taking a drive through the movie Drive 2011. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Amber. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well.
This feels like everything is kind of flip-flop bizarro world right now.
Yeah, totally. It seems like this quarantine is never going to end, but definitely. That's okay because we can keep pumping out movies for you guys.
Exactly. And do cool fun things like this where it's a movie Amber's seen that I haven't, so she's taking the wheel today.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah, and you also said you're kind of sick and tired of, you know, doing all of those horror movies.
I am.
Kind of good to take a left turn right now.
Oh my God, there's so many driving puns. Take the wheel, we're going to take a drive. Boy, you can turn this one off now. You get where this is going.
But I am really excited to delve into this one.
Yeah.
Just because it's one of those earlier, like, I guess post-2010 films. It kind of started picking up with all of these like indie films.
Okay.
And people were really starting to get into that and really getting a whole lot of, I guess, meaning out of it. Instead of having a whole bunch of movies that they're just like, you know, trying to get out and it's like super fun and whatever, but it really doesn't do anything for the audience. Yeah.
Like a post-writer strike kind of, let's get the movies.
Yeah. Okay. Like, let's do something with our movies. But anyways, so I have five things that are written up on the board right now, and that kind of give you an idea of what the movie is about.
Okay.
So the five things I have written on the board, the first one is it's a neo-noir film. Second one is little to no dialogue. Third one is violent and intense thriller. Fourth one is a classic LA heist gone wrong type of film. And then the last one is it centers around, like, a stuntsman.
Oh, okay. So, what do we make of this movie? So, I mean, okay, so it's like a classic, like, heist movie. Like, yeah. Like an Oceans kind of type thing or like an Italian Job kind of type thing?
I wouldn't say like an Oceans type thing.
Oh, okay. So, it's like a heist movie. Is it like a Baby Driver type thing? Okay.
Yes. So, okay. I would definitely, this is what Baby Driver should have been.
Ooh, okay, because Baby Driver is one of those movies where it's like, it could have been better.
And I feel like this is the movie that Baby Driver gets a lot of its influence from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Baby Driver wasn't bad, but I felt like it was just shy of, like, potential right there to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, a neo-noir film, so we've done some neo-noirs in the past. I mean, like, John Wick was considered one, so it's going to have that kind of vibe. Like,
So it's going to be very serious, whereas, like, you know, previous films haven't been so serious, and it's been actually kind of, like, funny and everything, but this film is, like, the total opposite of that.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm going to think, let's see, like, this movie is about a stuntman who's, like, a reasonably successful dude, like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, kind of successful. And he, like, in behind the scenes, does the Baby Driver job of being the wheel man for running, like, heists and shit. Guy doesn't talk much. Maybe he's, like, maybe he's, like, on the spectrum or something. I don't know. Like, he's kind of, like, a little bit off dude. But he's a real good damn stuntsman. He's good at driving. But people are like, he's weird. But, yeah, he's the wheel guy for, like, crimes. Nobody knows, like, you know, kind of like a Batman thing. Like, nobody knows that the stuntman is the guy driving the cars for the heists. I'm gonna say if it's like Baby Driver, I think shit goes south for the stuntman. And because Ryan Gosling's in it. I mean, I've seen the poster, like, Ryan Gosling's
in it. Yeah, so the movie does star Ryan Gosling in it.
So, with that, then I think shit goes south, and he has to run away from, like, the Kevin Spacey equivalent character. I'm kind of trying to use, like, Baby Driver as a jumping-off point, but, like, the boss guy who's making him run these heists?
Yeah.
I think something happens, shit goes south, and he, like, is on the run. They're going to kill him.
Yeah.
But he's, like, a real good driver, and he's, like, trying to, outrace them all. I'm thinking, since this is a heist movie, we gotta have some kind of twist where he's got shit set up to screw over the bad guy and get the money. And I think if I gotta wrap an ending up on this guy, I think he either dies or gets arrested, if it's really as serious as you're saying, or he, like, gets away to Mexico. Like, this movie ends with him just kind of alone on a beach or something like that, mm-hmm. where he made it out, but he can't go back. We're not getting a sequel kind of type thing. I mean, I don't know if I'm even in the ballpark.
No, you brought some really good points. Yeah. What do you think of the little to no dialogue? Because we really haven't seen a movie... Well, the movies we've been seeing so far have a lot of dialogue in them, with the exception of Ran. So Ran has like a few parts where there's a lot of dialogue, and then parts where it's complete silence with maybe like music in the back. And this definitely has parts like that where I would say it's more ambient tracks.
Okay. And I think, speaking of, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think it's going to be kind of like those Brad Pitt driving around scenes. But perhaps more like driving the plot. That wasn't supposed to be a pun. That's just the only way I could think to say it. I think it's one of those, like, it's going to be... He doesn't talk a lot because this movie's going to be a lot more show than tell. Which might be kind of interesting because some movies today are doing a lot more just data dump, tell you everything, and then go on with the action. I think this movie's going to find a really cool way to sort of weave it into the plot, as opposed to, like, you know, oh, yeah, remember that time you were an orphan in Hollywood and you were living on the streets, and then I found you in my production team and made you the best damn stunt boy ever made, or whatever kind of crap like that. But I think that there's definitely going to be, like, I mean, there's got to be dialogue. But I don't think it's, like, I keep thinking of that one we watched forever ago, and it was really, like, just not, in my opinion, it wasn't great. It's called, like, Silence or Death or something. It's about that, like, deaf guy in the future, and he's, like, trying to, it wasn't very memorable, but all I remember was this guy is, like, deaf or mute or something. I think he's mute.
Okay.
And it's, like, the future, and he's trying to, like, solve somebody's murder, like, his wife's murder or some shit, and, like, it all kind of angled on the fact that he was mute so he could talk to people, and it was like, it's okay. I think this might have a similar feel to that, but more than likely be good, because I've heard of this movie. Like, people have told me to watch this movie, you included, have told me to watch this movie before. I just never got around to it. So I've heard it's, like, pretty decent, at least. And that other movie I'm talking about, if I could remember the title, I'll look it up between now and when we come back, but it wasn't that great. I didn't like it. And I'm assuming this is at least a better than that. But I think it might be more like Ryan Gosling just is a man of few words in this movie. Kind of like his character in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, he has... The characters that he does, they tend to be really soft-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Or they really keep to themselves. You don't really get a good handle on who they are or where they come from. And
that's a good point.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what...
I think even The Notebook does that.
Yeah, which I've never seen The Notebook, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, we're not doing that. I hate that movie. That's not me being like, it's a girl movie. Mm-hmm. I just don't care for it very much.
But you just don't know anything about this character.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's...
Which is why there isn't a lot... It's kind of hard to come up with five things to tell you, because it's more about seeing, like, visually what's going on versus, like, oh, let me tell you about this character, where they're from, like, what are they doing, and... You don't even get a setting for this film.
Oh,
it just starts.
It's
probably like in the early 2000s, I'm assuming, because of, you know, it's in LA and everything. But other than that, I feel like the viewers are kind of lost.
Okay. I mean, I can get behind that. It's nice to, like, get a twist of a movie, especially coming off a house, because holy crap. talk about show and don't tell you anything. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to piece that one together yourself. But, okay, but that was such a campy, nutsy movie. This sounds like it's a lot more serious?
Yes, it's definitely a lot more serious.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely a lot more violent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, so again, like with John Wick, it definitely goes hand in hand.
Oh, so does this really... So, yeah, I mean, I guess... don't spoil it too much, but this sounds like it's a lot more John Wick than I was thinking. Like, maybe it leans towards that more violent.
Yeah, thing? There's, like, different aspects of, like, John Wick that definitely would fit into this film.
Okay.
But I feel like John Wick is more of, like, a superhero. Like, he's really able to do all these cool shit. Right. You know? But, like, I feel like this character is more like the average Joe.
Gotcha. So it's a little bit more, like, grounded version. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, that's interesting then, because that was the other thing, is the way you describe kind of the stoicism of him is sort of, it reminds me of sort of the beginning of John Wick 1, and even maybe all of it. It's been a bit. I mean, check out our episode on John Wick 1 if you want. It's one of our early, I think it's the first one we ever recorded, actually. But if I recall, that movie is pretty, like, he doesn't talk a whole lot.
No. Unless he's being talked to by someone.
Right. Like, he only kind of answers people. He doesn't actually, like, engage conversation.
Yeah. And especially when he's alone, there's just, there's not much to it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that this movie maybe gives, like, a proto 2049 Ryan Gosling. Like, here's a rough version of his character in that movie. Because from what you're describing, that's where I'm thinking it's going. I think it's going to be kind of like a, like his character in 2049, but not a robot. And he's, you maybe got a little bit more emotion than that. And I don't think he's got the girlfriend thing. So, but I don't know.
So with that being said, if you guys will just give us a few minutes, we'll watch the trailer and we'll come back and let you know what we think. Wow. That was just as good as I remember it.
That was different. Like, you failed to mention who else is in this movie. My God. Like, and that's totally cool. I wasn't expecting. I was a really happy surprise. Like, Bryan Cranston's in this movie. Ron Perlman's in this movie. The girl from the Weeping Angel Doctor Who episode's in this movie. Christina Hendricks is in this movie. Like, Oscar Isaac's in this movie. Like, there's a lot of people. I'm like, wow, I recognize all of those people.
Which, back then, that was before, like, Breaking Bad, wasn't it? Or before?
Oh, no, that was, like, during, I think, maybe? Maybe after?
Maybe during. But, like, at least for Oscar Isaac's?
Yeah,
like,
this was, like, pre-Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, his, you know, jump into that. But, I mean, like, he did other stuff. Like, he did, like, Ex Machina.
That's
and
true.
Shit.
But it's a lot of, like, you recognize big name, recognizable actors and actresses.
No, that's pretty cool. Like, I think that is, this movie looks really good. It reminds me of a movie I've seen where it's like you have like this criminal guy and he does save like a, he's close to like a family and shit goes south and he has to like protect the family. I'm sure that there's more than one movie that does that, but it totally reminds me of one specifically that I just can't think of it. Again, I'll probably try looking up these movies I can't remember before we finish, but yeah, no, it looks like it's really, like, it's really interesting. Like,
they definitely made it more action-y though, and I don't remember the film being like that, so it'll be interesting to go through it again and kind of see, like, if it's the way I remember it.
Yeah, this movie, according to the trailer, it won, like, a Best Director at the Cannes Film Festival in, like, 2011.
Yeah, and that's really, this is, like, his one-hit wonder for this director, because when I looked at his film biography, I didn't really see anything else that stuck out, like, that I would know.
Right, right.
Yeah. Besides, like, I don't know if it was, like, something like The 300, but, yeah, it was a film like that, but I forget the name.
Yeah, I mean, might as well do something big and good.
Yeah, exactly. So this was, like, his biggest film.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's going to be good. I liked the musical switch. We were talking during the trailer. You said, like, that musical switch happens in the movie where it starts playing, like, kind of this symphonic classical music instead of, like, the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's cool. Like, I'm kind of excited for that. And there were some cool scenes that were going on. It looks like everyone's doing a good job in this. You're right. It does have kind of that, like, funky Baby Driver feel, but doesn't feel as cartoony, I guess. Like, Baby Driver feels like an Edgar Wright movie because it is, and like you could just tell this definitely feels a lot darker and more serious, and like I kind of dig it.
So on IMDb, the description for this film is: a mysterious Hollywood stuntman and mechanic moonlights as a getaway driver and finds himself in trouble when he helps out his neighbor in this action drama.
Okay. I think I was a little on there. Like, he is like a stuntman moonlighting as like a wheel guy for something.
All right, everyone. So it's going to be a few minutes for you and 1 hour and 40 minutes for us.
Oh, this movie's not as long as I thought it was going
to
be.
I know. I thought it would have been 2 hours at least. But
I know. I'm super happy.
That's the standard for nowadays. Almost to 3 hours now.
God, spare me. But yeah, so we're going to go ahead and go watch Drive. I'll see you guys in a few minutes.
See ya. Hi, everybody. So we're back from watching Drive.
Yes, we are. That was cool. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Like, well, this is obviously not the first time I've seen this, so I just loved every minute of it. But maybe we should start with what Thomas thinks about Drive.
I am going to admit up front, I don't know if I loved every minute of this movie. I apologize now. It was good. Like, it wasn't bad. I don't mean that it's bad at all. Like, I think everyone's performance was super awesome. I especially loved Bryan Cranston in this movie. Like, there's just something about that guy where when he's in a movie, there's just not enough of him in a movie sometimes, I feel like. I mean, at least in some of these more dramatic roles. Like, you know, obviously he's great in Breaking Bad, and like, I think everyone can agree with that. But when you have, like, I always think of, like, Godzilla 2014, like, that the first new American one that came out. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's in that movie for maybe, like, 15, 20 minutes in the beginning. And it's just, like, all you want is just him to be the main character of that movie. Because he does such an awesome job. And then, spoilers for that movie, he dies. But this is kind of how I felt. I felt like that in this movie.
Yeah.
He's in it a lot more than 20 minutes. But yeah, he does such a good job playing this, like, skeevy, I don't know, like, he's kind of crappy, like, failure race car guy. I don't know. He's like auto mechanic, and he's like a nice guy, and he's sort of, I don't know, I guess, like, the way I sort of interpreted his character is he reminded me of Ryan Gosling's character. Mm-hmm. But, like, he wasn't quite as good at it. Like, Ryan Gosling had seen some hardcore shit, and Bryan Cranston hadn't quite seen the same shit, but failed just as much, if not more, but, like, couldn't get the message. But yeah, I think, like, overall, it was a good movie. Like, I'm glad I watched it, finally.
Yeah. And with that being said, let's just kind of, like, go through the movie, I guess. So, the first part of the movie begins, I guess, with Ryan Gosling's character, who is nameless throughout this whole movie.
I didn't realize that until the credits. Or until one of the subtitles. Okay. I think it's, like, until a later subtitle. It says, like, driver says blah. And I was like, wait a minute. He doesn't have a fucking name? What?
Yeah. And he's just kind of like driving. It's like a driving scene. And it's like the opening scene with the music. Isn't it Night Call by Kavinsky?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, kind of like how we had that in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's just driving around town and there's just music playing. So,
yeah, but there was a purpose in this part.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
This one, he's, because he's a heist, he's like a wheelman for heist.
Yeah, you immediately go into that, like, heist, right. And it almost turns bad. Like,
no, it's really cool the way they did it.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, he has everything set up. He's obviously done this multiple times, and he just has everything ready. He, you know, he has his watch that tells him what time it is. He leads these guys to this location, which I couldn't tell if it was like a warehouse or something, but regardless, like, he's waiting in there for, like, the second guy who takes a really long ass time to get back to the car.
Yeah,
and I was
right.
Getting a little anxious for him.
Well, I was like, oh, we're gonna run away with the money, and then I realized, oh, other guy's the one with the money. And then
yeah,
it made me kind of wonder, what did the first guy do
exactly? But eventually he does get back to the car right when the cops kind of roll through. And then it's this whole scene of him basically evading the cops, which was, like, pretty cool.
But it was cool because it wasn't quite like a car chase all the time. Like, it felt like it was cool because he's, like, listening with a police scanner and he's like, where are they? And then he hears them make a report, like, oh, the perp's on whatever. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm got to get off this road. And, like, mm-hmm, he gets on the road. And he's, like, evading the cops before the chase even really has to kick up. Or when it does, he, like, really easily gets away.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how he eventually hides after, like, a baseball game or a basketball game or something like that.
Yeah. And is that what you meant by giving customers only 5 minutes? Because I didn't notice that.
Well, he like says initially. It. He oh, says okay. in the beginning, he's like, "You got 5 minutes, and I will do. You know, I'm down for whatever. I'm not gonna. I don't. These are my restrictions." Like, I think he says he doesn't carry a gun. He's not gonna get out of the car.
Yeah.
He's not gonna help you. Mm-hmm. He just sits in the car and waits. And yeah. you are like kind of a no questions asked. You go do what you want. You're gonna do. You have 5 minutes of me sitting there at that. You know, 5 minute 1 second mark. I'm leaving. Like, yeah. I'm gone.
Yeah.
And whether you're in the car or not, I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm.
So, after that heist, it kind of goes into where he lives, I guess, and, like, him just, like, going home. And then it kind of goes into his day job to where you get introduced to Bryan Cranston,
yeah.
who is, I guess, his, like, manager, I want to say. But also, yeah. I mean, he works at his shop, too, but... like for doing those crash, like he's a stuntman. And so he's kind of setting him up, like trying to get him this job to be like a stuntman for this.
He's like
actor.
A weird agent.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it maybe Hollywood works that way. I don't know. I've never worked there, but it does. It did seem kind of fluid. Like, hey, we need somebody to crash this car. And, you know, Bryan Cranston, this local guy, is like, oh yeah, I have a guy who could crash this car. He's a great driver and whatever. And he's like, they're like, okay, fine, here's, you know, I think he says, I got you an extra like $500 because they want to do a longer crash, or they want the car to flip. That's what it was. They wanted the car to flip. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they want to do a flip. So like, I got you another $500, but you're splitting that with me. And like, Ryan Gosling's is like, okay, cool. Yeah, whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't quite talk enough in this movie. Personally, like, I get the silent thing, yeah. but I think it goes maybe a little too far. But I do like how they try to make him speak through driving, which mm-hmm. I thought was pretty cool in the beginning when he's like befriending the woman,
yeah,
the love interest character, basically.
Yeah, Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, he's like trying to become, he's like befriending Carey Mulligan, clearly like has a little crush on her, and he likes hanging out with her kid and stuff, and he's like pretty much quiet the whole time, but yeah. their thing is him just driving. Like, it's just yeah. like, let's go for a drive.
Yeah.
And the movie did an awesome job when they introduce her and all that, and they start kind of dating, so to speak.
Yeah, even though clearly at the very beginning when he meets him, like, her car breaks down mm-hmm. and he helps her, like, with fixing up the car and yeah. then taking...
They meet him at the shop. They show up at the car shop, right?
No, but the first incident is he meets them at the grocery store, oh, and yeah, then she yeah. comes later to the car shop to actually get it fixed. Like, he just did, like, a little thing to, like, get her to and from.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, so he helps, like, bring up the groceries, and that's where he gets introduced to her and the kid, and she also lets him know that, hey, like, his dad's in jail.
Yeah.
Or in prison.
Yeah, he's in prison.
But they never, like, go yeah. on, you know, to say why. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they say why. If anything, they do, like, a he made poor choices kind of mm-hmm. type excuse, and yeah. it went on with that. Because even the whole problem that comes up, and we'll get to it in a minute, it's not because of whatever he did. It's because he was in prison.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then he... What does he do? Like, they just show up at the car, because he also is a mechanic.
Yeah.
So he's not,
so he's
like,
working with
yeah.
Bryan Cranston at his little shop, and Bryan Cranston is really wanting to get a race car out, I yeah. guess, and have... Ryan Gosling be the driver.
Right. And this was something I feel like maybe needed a little bit more elaboration, because mm-hmm. I'm just not privy on the whole race car world. So when he's like, yeah, I just need a stock car and like I can fix it up, and then I got a driver, and he's like, he's working with like a gang member, like a mafioso or something like that,
yeah.
to get this car.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, yeah, I just need this much money to buy like $300,000 or something yeah. like that. To get this car, and then I guess the parts for it or something, which is kind of expensive for, I don't know how much a NASCAR car costs, yeah. or a stock car costs, but I was under the impression that they're pretty much just an engine, a frame, and some, like, paneling, like, not yeah. even aluminum, like, plastic and stuff like that. But yeah, the whole deal is, like, if he can get, you know, Gosling behind the wheel of this thing, I guess it's like they can make money off of it.
Yeah,
winning
they can
races
make, like, a lot of money
and gambling,
off of it.
I guess. Yeah,
yeah. And this guy, who I don't remember the actor for it. I mean, I remember
I remember everyone but
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, when Ron Perlman was great. I think everybody was great in this movie.
Yeah. But basically, this guy is kind of hesitant to do it. He's like, I want to meet your driver, you know, before we do this. And then Ron Perlman's kind of hanging in the back and just kind of like being a shit to Bryan Cranston, basically. Yeah. And after that, I think is when they actually meet like this mafioso guy. And
yeah, it's when Ryan Gosling finally meets the mafia guy who's under Perlman.
Yeah.
And he just like holds his hand out to like shake his hand. He's just like, my hands are dirty. And he goes, mine are too. And he's just like,
yeah, it's very intense. Like,
yeah, I think it was interesting to me because it's like, oh, I'm like, it almost comes off like Ryan Gosling just doesn't get it. And this movie does kind of a good job in the beginning where it's sort of like you, by this point in the movie, you're kind of questioning, is there something like wrong with Gosling's character in this movie? Like, has he got something wrong in the head? And then once shit starts going south, it changed. You kind of get like, he knows what he's doing. Like, he gets it. But yeah, he does that whole bit.
And then after that, it's back to Carey Mulligan again, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they do a montage or two here where in this movie it's a weird tonal thing because it's like a montage where it's like as if Gosling was part of the family.
Yeah.
And the thing I really liked about that was it's shot really well.
Yeah.
Because you have these pictures of Oscar Isaac's, Carey Mulligan's husband who's in prison. Mm-hmm. You have pictures of him with his kid like in subtly in the background.
Yeah.
But just far up enough to where like it would be if you were to like stage it out from foreground to background, it'd be like foreground is a table, then Ryan Gosling and the kid, and then immediately behind him there is like a picture of Oscar Isaacs and the kid, or a picture of Oscar Isaacs and Carey Mulligan. And like I was like, that's pretty clever, like that's kind of cool, because it's, and I feel like maybe I'm wrong, I mean I've only seen it once so I don't quite remember, but I feel like those pictures keep getting closer and closer and closer until the end of the montage when Oscar Isaacs gets out of jail.
Yeah, where she's, it's the day before, no it's not the day before, it's the week before.
Yeah.
Where she's like, you know, she's acting really weird. She gets that phone call.
Yeah.
As she's getting ready to like go out with Ryan Gosling. And then at the end of the night, she's like, hey, my husband is getting out of prison next week.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the end of their relationship.
And it's so weird. It's like such a weird thing because Gosling is just like, oh, okay. And like it's like he can't process it. And I feel like this performance by Ryan Gosling is like a rough version of his performance in Blade Runner 2049.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's that almost emotionless but has emotions a little bit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it comes off perfect in 2049. In this, like, it's still a little rough because it's still just off enough to where I'm like, wait, what do you mean? Like, why are you doing this? It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens once or twice. And like, I think you get him getting upset, or you can see him getting upset when he gets home that night from their drive, which you gotta, I feel like that's another thing about, I didn't think about till now, is like his apartment is nothing. Like his apartment is almost entirely black. Like at least light, it's not lit. The only light you ever see in there is like a work light over a car part.
Yeah.
That's it. Like that's his, and when you think about it, when you're watching it, you're like, okay, this makes sense. And then when you think about it, you're like, you don't see even couch, you don't see a home, you just see this is a place this guy goes, and then he leaves to go do other shit. And I think it kind of is cool because it juxtaposes with the montage, because when he is in like Carey Mulligan's apartment with the kid, he's like sitting on a couch watching cartoons, or he's like in the kitchen, or they're, you know, having a good time. And it's just like, it's just really interesting because it the movie, it reminds me a lot of like the, like Midsommar and Hereditary and stuff, where they do a lot of good work trying to explain things with shots, but not with talking. And so sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. This movie is still an example of sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Especially when Oscar Isaacs, he comes back and they hold this like party for him. And it's like with his friends, family, and he seems like an okay guy.
I would argue that he is. I mean, I think he feels a little threatened because it's like, I've been in prison and my wife clearly has been hanging out with this dude.
Yeah, like that was a little like, well, I was like, man, he's gonna like punch him or something, but he actually just ended up being like, oh, okay, like,
no, there's definitely a,
like,
yeah,
you know, kind of like giving that finality to it, but just like, oh, okay, like I see what you did, like thanks for watching over my kid and my wife, mm-hmm, but back off, you know.
There was definitely that like confrontation in the hallway where, yeah, he's just like, you know, whatever his son's name was, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, my son tells me like you've been helping out a lot, and he's just like, thanks. And he's like, and then the Carey Mulligan's like very much like, okay, like let's just go back to the party, let's just leave. And he's like, no, you talk to your friend, I gotta take this trash out, and like leaves with some garbage.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, I don't know, it was just night. I got kind of worried at that, yeah, part, because I'm like, are we really gonna do this in this movie? Yeah. It's like, maybe it's because by the year 2020,
but then again,
it's drawn
it's
out.
Like that guy just got out of prison, so the last thing he would do is try and, you know, start a fire or whatever.
Oh no, I mean, it totally makes sense. I guess I was just more like, oh, I really don't want to see, like, I meant more like the tension. Like, I didn't really want to see the tension.
Yeah.
Because I was like, really? Like, yeah, are you really doing this?
Yeah.
But it worked out fine in the end, so I didn't really, you know, it well, working out fine is kind of a strong phrase to use. It doesn't work out great, but it's not a thing. It's more, yeah, just a little awkward. But other than that, like, it's fine. Like, he does seem like a nice guy, aside from like, hey, I'm back off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that kind of leads into the next scene that kind of just like starts up everything. Because I definitely feel like for the first part, it's kind of like this whole montage thing. Like, it's kind of very flat. And then it just like takes off. Like,
yeah, this movie took a bit to get, I don't want to say it took a bit to get started, if you pardon the pun, but like it does take its time showing you this is what Ryan Gosling's life is like.
Yeah.
In a lot of detail, which is like interesting because like I said about the stock car stuff, is it's like all he is the driver.
Yeah.
And the movie does a good job being like, driver doesn't need to know about all this behind the scenes, mm-hmm, shit. But at the same time, me, the viewer, kind of would have liked to know some of, like, what is Bryan Cranston's deal with this guy? How do they know each other? Like, what? Who is this guy to start with, other than, yeah, like, a mafioso? Mm-hmm.
So, he goes to take a little drive, because, you know, he's kind of, like, I guess just trying to deal with the whole situation. Like, oh, I'm not going to be with, like, Carey Mulligan, you know, anymore. Comes back and sees that Oscar Isaacs has been beaten up, like,
he's beat to shit.
Yeah, beat to shit, basically. And his kid's there, too.
Mm.
And he's like, you know, what's going on? Like, who did this? And that's where Oscar Isaacs tells him that, hey, there's these guys that want me to do a job, but I refused. And they were like, you can't really refuse, because it seems like he knew them prior to being in prison. So he owes kind of like this favor to them. And of course, like, after they beat the shit out of him, they gave this bullet to his kid and was just like, you know, save this for later. And
yeah, it's supposed to be like, hold on, like, don't lose this or something is what, yeah, the kid says. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where Ryan Gosling really gets like ramped up.
Yeah. And it's such a quiet ramping up. Like, he's, yeah, just kind of like, okay, gotta go John Wick on these people, yep, time to kill some motherfuckers. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he starts, because I guess Oscar Isaacs then explains to him he confronts Oscar Isaacs in the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
And he's, and this is where I feel like maybe some editing got weird, because he confronts Oscar Isaacs. He says, what the fuck is going on, mm-hmm, basically. And he's like, look, I was in prison, and, you know, I was getting fucked around with. So these basically like mob gangster guys offered protection until I got out, but it cost me however much money. And they keep upping it. So it's like, it was $3,000 and he paid that. And then, mm-hmm, it was like, oh no, it's $10,000. Oh no, it's 20, 30, whatever. And he's like, I don't have that money. So they're like threatening to come after my family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the click for like Ryan Gosling to give a shit, I,
yeah,
feel like. And he's like, okay, fine. So, but then it cuts to like him talking to Carey Mulligan. He's like, I heard he had an accident the other day. And she's like, oh yeah, a bunch of teens or something. He's like,
yeah,
oh, okay.
Like a bunch of teens jumped him.
Right. And it was weird because that happened, and then it goes sort of almost back to the bathroom thing. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe I don't remember it right, but ultimately, the obvious happens. Ryan Gosling agrees because Oscar Isaacs is told, what? Yeah. You have to do one more job for us or something to make back this money.
Yeah, basically.
And Ryan Gosling obviously is like, I'll be your wheelman. And like, they don't show you that part, I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong, but they don't show you that part when, before he confronts Carey Mulligan about it. Like, he talks to Oscar Isaacs, it ends, he talks to her, and then it's, like, back to the bathroom, and he agrees to help him or some shit.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's kind of, it was a weird cut choice, in my opinion, because I was like...
And it was also weird. Kind of a weird conversation, because it's like, obviously she knows about this shit, like, it's not that
hard
to hide it from her.
They really don't let her know things in this movie, or let her show that she knows things.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird. Like, she doesn't need to be upfront, but still. Yeah,
she just kind of acted like, oh, it's, you know, whatever. But it's kind of like, no, they, like, you know, threatened your kid.
Right. I'm not saying she needs to freak out or anything, but I was just kind of like, why don't they show her, like, really trying to, like, hide it? Like, maybe we get a little bit more. I was like, oh, yeah, he just took a bad fall down some stairs. It's no, it happened. It's no big deal. Like, it's nothing. You don't have to worry about it. We don't even ask about it. Don't even worry. Like, just make it awkward enough.
Yeah.
Because when she says it, I mean, maybe Carey Mulligan's just too good of an actress in that regard.
Yeah.
I was like, I genuinely believe that she believes that he got beat up by a bunch of teens in a park. And the movie's telling me I'm not supposed to believe that. But I do. And I'm bothered by that because I know it's not true. But, I mean, it's hardly a gripe. It's executed really well.
Yeah, and leading up to that job, I thought it was really interesting that he was still going over and having dinner with these people. But obviously it's because, like, he told Oscar Isaacs, oh, I'll do this for you or whatever. So he's kind of, like, part of the family or whatever.
It's so weird.
But they have, like, their kind of last dinner with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where... they talk about how, like, him and Carey Mulligan
met. The weirdest fucking flex of all time.
And while,
like,
he's talking, you've got Ryan Gosling looking at Carey Mulligan kind of like...
It's an awkward story.
Yeah.
It's like, his story, I think, went along the lines of... Because his name is Standard.
Yeah, and she's like... And
it's like Standard something. I don't remember his last name.
Standard, yeah.
His name's Standard. And... he's like, looks at his son, he's like, you want to know how we first met? And like, the son's like, sure. Like, not even like, yeah, he's just like, sure. And I'm like, dude, this is really awkward. Like, this is a weird fucking flex. And he goes and tells a story how basically he's at a party and he like meets Carey Mulligan and she's actually like 17 and they kind of just like brush that off.
Yeah.
And he's like 20-something and he says like, he says, my name's Standard whatever.
Yeah, and her, she's like, where's the deluxe version or some shit like that.
And I was like, and I remember we were watching and I was like, man, this better be some joke on his name. Like, it better be like, where's the Supreme version or something like that. And that's what happens. And then he basically is like, yeah, that happened and then we fucked. And I'm like, your kid is like 9. Like, you don't need to go that. You can just say like, after that, you know, we couldn't stop seeing each other or something to that effect. Like, you don't need to be like, we fucking got it on. And then like, I think he's like, then like a few months later, like you came along and I'm like, whoa, okay. I'm like, nothing wrong with that. But when this kid's not 9 anymore and he puts that story together, he's going to be like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
And you can tell that like Carey Mulligan's like clearly embarrassed by this story. And like Ryan Gosling is just completely stoic and doesn't react at all. But I feel like you can almost see behind his eyes. He's like, like screaming his head off because it's just like everything about it's awkward. And I'm like, oh, this is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable even for me to watch. And I'm not part of their family.
But the next day is when they actually do the job. Which, when they meet up with that guy in Blanche. Which is like a weird name for...
I mean, it's anybody. An old-timey name.
Yeah.
And I think even in when this movie come out?
2011.
Yeah, and you think even in 2011 it's a little unique.
Yeah.
But they keep saying, like, you got Blanche! And I'm like, why do you gotta roll that am?
But that guy's trying to get away with, like, all the money. Like, they have a little, like... feud or whatever because he's like, oh, so you're basically gonna just take all the money, and the other guy's like, yeah, because, you know, he owes us or whatever,
right?
And it's like, okay. And Ryan Gosling kind of lays it down, like, obviously it's not his first rodeo, but
which I wish there was more of that.
Yeah.
I don't need a full backstory, but just like a little bit more of like, this is not the first time I've done this. Mm-hmm. Like, beyond driving. Like, I've been involved with these people. Because I think when Bryan Cranston's sort of telling his little backstory about Ryan Gosling to Carey Mulligan and her kid at the auto shop, mm-hmm. he's basically just like, Ryan Gosling just appeared one yeah. day and was like, I want a job. And, you know, I've been exploiting him ever since because he's really good at what he does. And I'm like, haha, but wait a minute.
Where is this, you know, like, where'd he come from? This guy? Yeah. Yeah, but he just sort of like waltzed into town. But anyways, like, they, you know, go and get the job done. But of course it goes sideways because Oscar Isaac gets shot up.
Yeah,
like right in front of them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They get the money, of course, but like as they're leaving, I guess something happens and he just gets shot up.
Yeah.
And so they drive away, they go to this motel, and the people in the other car, they follow them there. But he's like...
this is where you see him get dark.
Yeah, because
he's like interrogating Blanche. Yeah.
And he's like, what do you know? Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? And she's like, I really don't know. But she does say that, yeah, it was kind of like a setup, but she's like, I didn't know he was supposed to die, so...
Yeah. Well, because he's like, did you know this was going to be like a setup or something? And she's like, yes. And he's yeah. like, he's basically like, has her pinned to the bed or something. And he's like, I'm yeah. going to kill you now.
Yeah.
And like, it's scary. Yeah. Like, it's really scary because you kind of get this like psychopath.
Yeah, because he even like yeah. punches her or like slaps her.
He beats the shit yeah. out of her. And it's like a, because he's slapping her, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's got that vibe like, the quiet kid in school suddenly decided to say something.
Yeah,
and it's uncomfortable. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But these guys with like snipers or like some shit, they come through the back and they shoot Blanche like in the fucking head.
Oh
and,
yeah, they like blow her head off yeah! or some shit. Yeah.
Like her brain is just splattered all over the place. But Ryan Gosling is a pro at this, obviously. So he takes down like these guys and makes his escape. And this is where he starts going into John Wick mode, right?
Yeah, I would say yeah. from the motel scene on, it's kind of a weird... It's like a rough L.A. John Wick movie.
Yeah, because he calls Carey Mulligan and he's like... But he can't get a hold of her because the cops are already there. And
right.
it's already on the news, like, that Oscar Isaacs is dead.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, yeah, she can't come to the phone right now. She's talking to the cop. And he's like, okay.
Well, that was the other thing, was that I didn't notice until, like, really thinking about it and kind of a little bit after it happened, is one of the things he interrogates her about is he opens the bag of money. And they were only supposed to get, like, $400,000 or something.
Yeah,
and there's, like, $1 million
yeah,
in this
and
bag.
And he's like, whose money is
he's
this?
He's like, who the fuck's money is? Did you know that, like, this is what you were getting, not the other thing? And she's like, I don't know whose money is. And I think... It's a thread that I have to admit I kind of forgot about until it comes up later in the movie
mm-hmm.
when they explain whose money it is. But I was like, oh, that's a lot of fucking money. Like,
yeah.
that's a lot more than $400,000. So what's up? But you forget about it. But yeah, he tries to call Carey Mulligan, and it was all like a, you know, the cops are there asking questions, and he's like, I'm not going back there. And I think he goes on the John Wick, I'm going to hunt down the answers mode.
Yeah.
Right?
And so he gets to the first guy he talked to.
Yeah, the gangster guy
yeah,
that sort of set it all
guy.
Up.
And he carried the bullet with him, which I thought was, like, crazy.
Oh,
but
man.
He, like, takes a hammer and just starts, like, fucking...
In a strip club.
Yeah, in a strip
yeah.
club.
Yeah.
And he's like, call Ron Perlman or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
yeah,
one of them slowly does it. I'm like, she really does not want this
oh my
dude
God.
To live.
Yeah. No, this whole thing, because he's like, he like smacks him in the face with a hammer or something.
Yeah.
He fucks him up. He doesn't kill him, though.
He fucks his hand up,
He
too.
Fucks his hand up. That's what he does. He
yeah.
fucks his hand up pretty royal. And he's like... It's like in the back room of a strip club, like the dressing room of a strip club. And it's like pretty much all the women are just sort of naked sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, call Perlman. But they don't know. This was something that didn't hit me because like they introduced Perlman earlier, right?
Yeah.
And like Ryan Gosling knows his name.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think. And he's like, his name's like Nino. Yeah. And he's like, call Nino. or he's like, Nino's the one that set it up. And I feel like the movie is supposed to be kind of like a dun, dun, dun moment. Yeah. But I'm not 100% sure Ryan Gosling met Nino.
Or yeah, because he only heard about him through
Bryan Cranston and the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they met him at the auto parts shop, but I feel like there wasn't enough, like, Nino Gosling interaction to merit the dun 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 kind of like,
yeah,
you know, big shoot a drop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he like talks to Ron Perlman on the other side of the phone.
Yeah, and he's like, you take this money back
and like leave me and this family alone, essentially. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to fuck with you, just take your goddamn money and shut up.
Yeah. And so they set up a place to meet at, right? And then it kind of just ends there.
Well, he no, because it's before that. Perlman and the other guy, the other gangster, are like, how do we deal with this? And the yeah. other gangster's kind of trying to play like, let me just have Gosling because he's going to make me some money off this stock car thing.
But the guy's just like, Ron Perlman's right. like, no, like, we need to like clean this up because it'll get to the top. And that's where it's going to be, yeah. you know, we're going to be dog shit basically, like, if we don't fix this. And yeah, the guy's yeah. like, okay.
Yep.
Like, time to clean some loose threads and mm-hmm. freaking kills the other guy.
Yeah, so, like, the guy he beat up with the hammer, his nickname's, like, Cook or something like yeah. that. He's in this, like, pizzeria they're meeting at, and he's telling them how Gosling fucked them up, and they're just like, well, you know, we can't, like, leave Gosling and Bryan Cranston alive, because by this point, Ryan Gosling has kind of, like, set up his affairs.
Yeah.
He's gone and he's talked to Cranston, and he's like, you fucked me. Because he went, oh man, I'm doing it backwards, but if I remember, I think it's like, he goes to Carrie Mulligan's house, mm-hmm. apartment, and he's like, trying to talk to her about all the shit that happened. While they're on an elevator going to like the garage or something, one of Nino's dudes is yeah. there to kill him. And
you as know, they share like their first kiss,
right, they have yeah. like this really like emotional kiss, and then he's like trying to kill him, and Gosling beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, and basically
he like curb stomps his head into the elevator until yeah, there's nothing left. Yeah,
and Carrie Mulligan is just looking in horror at him, right. just like, whoa, and just kind of leaves him on the other side of the elevator.
Mm-hmm. And but then he goes to Cranston and is like, you fuck, mm-hmm. and you told Nino where I live and all this stuff. And Cranston's like an idiot, and he's just like, I didn't know they were going to do that. I didn't know, they just wanted to know about you. I didn't know they were going to go after her and all this other shit. And he's like, you need to get the fuck out of here. Like, they're going to kill me, they're going to kill you, and they're going to kill them. And he's just like, oh, fuck. And Cranston realizes how hard he fucked up. And yeah. then, yeah, that's where they have that conversation. Nino's like, we got to kill them all. And he's just like, all right, fuck it, fine. And, like, this is where that other gangster guy who was talking to Bryan Cranston is just like, I guess I gotta go do it.
Yeah, I think his name's Bernie or something. Yeah, like
Bernie
that.
Or something.
Yeah, but
that's where you get Bryan Cranston's death.
Yeah, like Shannon comes, or not Shannon, that's the name of Bryan Cranston, but Bernie comes and
yeah, Cranston's on his way out.
Yeah, yeah, but he of course this it. Dude shows up and he's just like, you know, would have been great, like, if we, you know, had your race car and everything. But he asks him, you know, do you know where Ryan Gosling is at? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Must have gone to Mexico mm-hmm. or something. And he's like, uh-huh, okay. And then just, like, slices up. Wrists. Yeah, and he's like, it's over, it's done. Like,
I know, he's like, he slices his wrists open.
Yep.
And he's just like, don't worry, it's already done. Like, you're already dead. Yeah. There is nothing you can do at this yeah. point. Just take it. And yeah. it's like, whoa. And he just, like, lets him die there on the floor.
Yeah.
And then doesn't, like, Gosling comes and gets the money from Cranston, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. in one of the cars or something yeah. like that. And that's just, like, we're just killing everybody. It becomes, like, he's like, I just gotta kill everybody.
Yeah.
And then he kills Nino. Like, he tracks yeah, Nino down or something.
We have that weird scene where it's playing that one song, I forget. But it's just, which I always thought, like, the first time when I saw it, like, he was going to go in and shoot up the place. But yeah. no, he just, like, stares through the window with his mask on. And I'm kind of like, I don't know what that really is supposed to mean, but I guess I'll just take it, but he's just looking through and, like, staring at everyone who nobody seems to notice. There's a fucking, like, face. Maybe that's the point.
like, maybe the point is that these people feel like they're so safe, and this rando guy is just
pizza shop.
Because you're right, though. Like, he could have killed everyone in that room right there with very little effort. Mm-hmm. And, like, none of them even bother to, like, for these high-profile gangsters, none of them even bother to, like,
react. But maybe there's no reason to kill all of them. Just Nino, so...
Right, and or maybe it's just that he wants to see his face and, like, remember it or something like that. I don't know.
And so he waited until he, you know, leaves with his driver.
Mm-hmm.
Gets them to where they fall off the side of this cliff.
Yeah, he pits the car and, like, spins it off a cliff onto a beach or something. Yeah,
and driver's dead. Nino's, you know, crawling out.
Yeah.
And this is where we have Ryan Gosling just, like, follow him to the... Because, you know, this guy's, like, trying to...
This guy knows he's fucked.
Yeah, but he's still trying to, I don't know, swim out into the ocean or something. He's totally desperate. But
yeah.
He's just... He's dragging his feet, and Ryan Gosling basically just, like, smothers his face.
Yeah. He drowns him. He kills him with the ocean. He's just like, you're dead now.
With
the
mask on, which is fucking...
Which is creepy. Yeah, earlier when he does the stunt, they give him this, like, Hollywood mask thing that's supposed to make him, I guess, kind of look like the driver of the car. And it's just, it's not, you know, like, really super awesomely well done latex mask, because obviously, like, you're going to be shooting us, he's going to be in a car, who cares? Yeah. But it fits him in such a way where it's, like, more than a mask you'd buy at a store, but less than, like, a real, like, makeup thing. And he takes it with him to go kill this guy, and it's just enough to where, like, his eyes and mouth are kind of synced up to his mouth and eyes, and it's just, it's unsettling.
Yeah.
And it's bald, and it's just creepy to watch, but... Yeah, he kills Ron Perlman with the ocean.
Yeah, and then he finally gets in contact with Bernie, and Bernie's like, you know, like, we've done enough killing, like, for the both of us, so how about we just, like, meet up, you know, and just try and, like, work something out, basically.
Oh, yeah, but, like, that was the thing, too, is you find out that the money, because, see, I'm doing the exact same thing I did in the movie. I completely forgot about all the money and where it came from. It turns out that Nino fucked over, like, legit as shit mafia people from the East Coast.
Oh, that, yeah.
And, like, they wanted to set up some, like, he says some, like, upstart in their gang wanted to start some shit in LA.
They were going to go on their turf, basically.
And he was like, I'm going to sabotage it by killing them and stealing all their money.
Yeah.
And Bernie gets pissed at him. He's like, dude, you just fucked over, like, the Godfather mafia. Yeah. Like, you... What the fuck is wrong with you? And he's like, goes on this whole tirade about how they're like, they give him shit because he's Jewish and this, that, and the other thing. And, like, it's just like, oh, okay. And it's kind of becomes one of those things where it's like, you stole, because Bernie tells him that, right? He's like, you stole mob money, dude. Like, you're fucked no matter what we decide. Shit, yeah.
And I'm involved with you. So that, like, puts me in a difficult, like, situation. Because, like, he seems like a. It's funny because he seems like a stand-up guy up to the point where it's almost like he's like a mirror image of Ryan Gosling until something happens, like shit hits the fan. He's like, oh, I'm going to have to like kill people.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't want to. Yeah.
But yeah.
Because what does he do? He like he asks him for the money. He says, give me the money. And like your girlfriend, like, no one knows about her except me and you. And you killed everyone else who knew. So it's like, who gives a shit? They're fine. I won't say anything. Who cares?
Yeah, but you, like...
You don't get to stay. Yeah, you have to leave.
You will be having to look over your shoulder, like, wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Ryan Gosling's like, okay, I guess, but... Mm-hmm.
Well, then he, like, shivs him. When he goes, where's the money? Totally he's like, it's in the car. Was,
like, oh, you could totally tell from a mile away. Like, he wasn't just going to let him get away.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he... Because what Bernie, like, he's like, there's the money. And he's just like, all right, fuck it. And he stabs Ryan Gosling, like, in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gosling, he manages to, like, get him back and kills Bernie and leaves him and the cash on the ground, drives away.
In broad daylight at a Chinese restaurant, but.
And this is where I was kind of waiting for the. I was waiting to record to ask you this, though. Like, do you think that maybe Gosling actually died and the end of the movie isn't really him driving away? It's just what he's thinking about.
I feel like he did get away, though.
I guess the thing that bothered me in the movie was like he gets stabbed in the gut.
Yeah, but he does have that moment where he's kind of sitting in the car just like
he gets to the car
catatonic state, I guess, and then he comes to it and he's like, okay, like,
it's and that's where I'm wondering.
So I'm wondering if I always felt like at the end he's just going on to the next town with possibly an ex Carey Mulligan with the family.
Yeah.
You know, next Bryan Cranston. Like, that's just his way of life.
That's probably really what it was. I guess to me, though, I was like, because all I could think of was the ending of...
But that would be really cool if, like, right. You know, the lines started blurring on the streets mm-hmm. as he was driving, and then the music, you mm-hmm. know, gets louder, and it's like, okay, you know, he might be dead.
Right.
Maybe if he, like, went through a tunnel, too, that would really be, like,
yeah,
a,
like, he just goes through a tunnel, and then you don't see him come out the other... You don't even see him come out the other side.
The other end.
Well, because the way it hit me was, like, he gets hit in the gut, right?
Yeah.
He's like getting stabbed in the stomach.
And unless he receives
good.
Like some sort of medical right. attention, like he's gonna be.
And I mean, I kept thinking of like how Blade Runner 2049 ends, right? Is he's on the ground and he's
the
shot.
Same way.
And I was like, he dies at the end of that. And in this, he just like gets up and drives away. And I was like, I don't think you can do that after getting stabbed in the gut. Like, I think at the very least, it's gonna be really fucking hard. And it almost hit me as like, but what if he died? Because he leaves the money. And that's the thing where I'm like, in my mind, you could take some of the money, you could take like all the money. I understand like the artistic point of leaving the money because he never actually gave a shit about the money the entire time. But it's just like that he makes it the car, he kind of, you think he dies in the driver's seat and then he drives away. And that was his thing the entire time, was driving. That was like his world. And it was just kind of like, maybe he's dead. And, like, his last thoughts aren't of Carey Mulligan, aren't of anything else. It's just of him driving his car. Because that's, like, the one thing he's always loved to do. I'm probably reading too much into it. But it was an interesting, like, oh, what if he's dead?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first thought I had after going, like, oh, he just gets away. I guess he's okay with that stomach wound. All right?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then, of course, we have Carey Mulligan, you know, even though she knows he's fucking dead because he called her and told her I'm probably not coming back. She still goes to knock over on his door and there's no answer. And she just kind of teary-eyed walks back to her apartment, and that's kind of like the end of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it ended. I liked the ending. Like, I liked this movie. It was enjoyable.
But?
But, I mean, I guess if I had to stick a number to it, I'd probably sit it at like a even 7 out of 10, okay. I think. Because it's not bad. Like, I did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely, like, it felt a little... And maybe it's because I've seen, like, Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad and shit. And, I've seen all of Breaking Bad. I've seen how that ends. I've seen Gosling in 2049 and shit like that, to where I'm like... Or even like Oscar Isaacs and like Ex Machina and things, to where I'm like, I saw them give better performances and this felt a little rougher. And even though I know, I'm pretty sure this movie took place, or this movie came out before some of the things I mentioned happened, it's just kind of like, it is tough to see this and go, it's cool to see this because it's like, this is a little rough, but it's tough to watch it and go like, I know they can do better. Why aren't they doing better? And like getting a little frustrated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus there's like some, you know, it's kind of like my complaint about Star Wars The Last Jedi, or really my complaint about like Hereditary, is it's just like, or even Midsommar, is like, it's kind of sacrificed a few plot points I would have liked to see explained for really cool shots that they maybe thought explained it well enough, but came just shy of doing that, to me anyway.
Yeah, and your score of 7 actually is pretty close to what it's rated on IMDb.
Yeah.
And so it's actually 7.8 out of 10 on there.
Oh, damn.
I personally would have given it like a 9.
Oh, shoot.
Because I really love that movie.
So what about this movie do you like? Because I don't mean like, what do you like so much about this movie? But I guess I'm just curious, like, what to you is what's really speaking? Or what about this movie is really speaking to you?
So this movie was also nominated for an Oscar. And it was an Oscar for sound editing. So it wasn't like nominated for like, you know, best movie. Right. But I think for me, it definitely was like the sound edits.
It had really good movies. Sound editing. Yeah.
Like, it was really like, I love the music that they put into the movie. And then the actors, like, especially Ryan Gosling, I don't know. I guess like his acting is just amazing.
But this movie is acting... it's weird to say it because I feel like that's what most movies are supposed to do.
The script itself isn't that great. Like, it could have been a lot better.
No, the actors carry this movie. Yeah. Like, their performances are what carry this movie. And I know that sounds kind of weird to say because it's like, shouldn't that be every movie?
Yeah.
But when you look at, like, what the scripts are and then just how it, like, it's shot really well, but it's done in a way where the shots kind of seem to mean more than what's going on in them.
Yeah.
And the actors make up for that in such a huge way that makes this movie really enjoyable. And I mean, that's what keeps it, you know, up for me in this, in that kind of 70 range, because it's like, the acting in this is great, mm-hmm. like, hands down.
Yeah. And I think at least what does it for me is just being able to, like, the idea of, like, drive. So, like, driving away from something. Mm. It's not necessarily just him just driving, you know, the entire time. But it's also him just driving away from things, like driving away from this life that he could have had with Carey Mulligan if he were not involved in these type of sketchy things. Mm-hmm. But it's also his way of life too, so it's the only thing that he knows. And yeah, I wish they did develop more on, like, his background and stuff, but that's just, I feel like that's the entire plot.
Yeah, I think it's, you bring up a really interesting point, right? Because you're like, he's good at driving, and driving is getting away. In this movie, it's getting away from things. It's getting away from crimes, or it's getting away even from an entire life.
And even, like, psychologically, he has that drive.
Right.
To, like,
but it's one step.
Maybe do, like, things that aren't great.
But it's one of those things to me where it's like, when you say it that way, it's one more step up, because it's not just that driving is getting away from crimes or getting away from your life. It's that he's good at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, he, which you could take to be like, he's good at leaving his life. He's good at getting out of stuff. He's good as getting away.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what he does. And it's interesting because it's like, he's like a drifter almost.
Yeah.
When you put it like that, but you know, you don't know his backstory, so you don't know how long he's been doing it, but still it's interesting. Like, there's a lot to this movie, and I think definitely people can get a lot of different things out of it if they so choose.
Yeah. So would you suggest that other people watch this movie?
Yeah. I think you should watch this movie at least once. Like, just because the performances are so good, and it's from people, especially nowadays where it's like, you see all these people in, like, really big name things. I mean, like, Bryan Cranston's in Breaking Bad, Oscar Isaac's in Star Wars, Carey Mulligan's in Doctor Who, if you're into that, and Ron Perlman's in a ton of stuff. I mean, the guys, they're all in tons of things. And of course, Gosling's in, like, Blade Runner and Notebook, and again, a ton of movies. And it's just like, you know these people, you recognize their faces, but this is an opportunity to, like, really see them shine. Especially when a movie is, like, perhaps on paper not the best movie in the world. And it's just, like, they really carry it and they really make this movie worth watching. So, definitely, I mean, this movie's, I think, on Netflix, right? Like, definitely give it a watch. It is really worth watching to me. What about you? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Like, I would totally tell people to watch it.
Yeah, this is definitely a good one. I'd say pick it up.
Especially if you like that neo-noir.
Yeah, this is very, like, if you liked John Wick... but wanted a little bit more emotional weight, this is the movie for you.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels. It's like a more realistic, rougher John Wick with a larger emotional component.
Mm-hmm.
Like, John, not to get wrong, John Wick is a great movie. But it definitely had less, I mean, it had, like, next to zero romance. I don't think it had any in that movie. I think it's about him. I mean, it's about him and his dog, for Christ's sake, in the first one.
Yeah. But this one definitely carries a lot more
weight. It's a lot heavier in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say people watch it.
Okay. Well, then, I think that wraps everything up. So, Thomas, what will we be watching for next week?
We are going to be watching a movie I've seen that Amber hasn't, and flipped the tables around. It's Seven Samurai from 1954. It's going to be our second Akira Kurosawa movie, by the way.
Ooh.
So this is the movie that, like, is considered, like, his top one.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, we did, you know, go back, check our past episodes. We did his movie Ran, which was kind of like his magnum opus movie. But this is the one that really was like, boom, check this shit out. Like, this guy is a fantastic director. Like, his greatest work. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so check it out next week when we do Seven Samurai. As always, I'm your host, Amber.
And I'm your host, Thomas.
And this is So What Happens Next.
Bye, guys.